I'm so excited to share with you that the doors are officially open for my first ever phone-free event that's happening in Los Angeles, California on February 28th at Mudwater Gather in Santa Monica, with the option for you to dive even deeper on March 1st. Now look, this event is about you. It's about you building connections and community and us all really bringing this analog revolution to life and reminding our hearts and souls what we truly crave most, what nourishes our being, which is co-regulating with other humans, having our mirror neurons dance together, sharing experiences together, but also learning together. So on top of all the community and connection possibilities for you, there's also an incredible lineup of speakers. I've got internationally renowned nervous system expert Sarah Baldwin, Nike master trainer Brandon Collingsworth talking about purpose and meaning, and Mandy Balak, who's the president of the Gathering Festival, which is one of the largest marketing and branding conferences in North America. So we're going to be diving deeper into what does the future look like to walk alongside technology and use technology as a tool. Now look, if you want to dive even deeper, there's limited space for a VIP dinner on the Saturday night. And if you want to go even deeper, if it's aligned for leaders, coaches, therapists, entrepreneurs, branding, marketing, whoever is called, there's a mastermind on the Sunday morning with even more limited seating. And that's going to be about what does the future look like to create in this world with technology. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, you want to find out more and save your spot, go to markgroves.com/future. I can't wait to see you there. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves podcast. This week is a huge week for me. I say that like other than the birth of my son, this might be one of the weeks I'm most proud of because it is the launch of my wife and I's new book, Liberated Love, that we co-authored together. And the book is about how to release codependent patterns and create the love you desire. That's the subtitle of it. And that's the essence of it is like, how do we, whether we're single, dating, in a relationship, married, how do we begin or continue to use the material that's coming up for us in our lives, in our relationships, to actually free ourselves, to actually heal patterns that may have been in our family for generations? So this is huge. I mean, this book, I say this with no doubt in my words, that if you read this book and you apply the tools that are within it, you will completely change not only your relationship, but that's fact, you'll change your life. I have no doubt in my mind. It is my belief that the material, the like stuff that comes up in the ways that we relate is really the most frequent touch point to our limitations, to our challenges, to the things that, the frictions that need love, that need transformation, that need change. And, you know, it doesn't end the like knowledge and the awareness and what's possible for our relationships. And I just think when we start to model that we want to participate in relationships that are about realizing each other's greatest potential, that like, through being in relationship with me, it is my greatest desire that you become everything you can be. Like, how do we say no to that type of invitation to a relationship? And imagine if we do that for ourselves, that we liberate ourselves through the way that we live, because this isn't just a way to relate. This is everything. How you do one thing is how you do everything. It's like, if we do that, what a beacon we are to the world. What a beacon we are to the people who get to be in relationship with us. If you're someone who consumes audiobooks, which I'm more of an audiobook listener, and if you're listening to the podcast or watching it, you might be more prone to that, right? And you might be the one who puts on an audiobook and crushes it. And so because I am more of an audiobook person, my wife and I did something really special for the audiobook. We recorded a conversation after each chapter where we just discussed the content of the chapter. So today's episode is one of the conversations we have after chapter 4, which is one of my favorite chapters. It's called Getting Right with Reality. This is the book, Liberated Love, Release Codependent Patterns and Create the Love You Desire. If you haven't ordered a copy, please go do so. Shameless ask, this is one of the best ways you can support my work is to order this book now, whether it's in print or audio or both. I really appreciate the support that you all have brought to my life and allowed me the opportunity to share the experiences that I have through relating and through life and all the different things that I've been learning on the journey of what it means to be a human. And it really is my greatest wish that we all develop and learn the skills to be able to create epic relationships and epic lives. And this book is, I'm so proud of it because it's such a powerful tool to do just that. Like everything that my wife and I have learned through our own relationship and through our individual work compressed into this with our story, client stories, and tools, and the how do we do that? And then what's possible for the world when we do that, hey? So without further ado, here is a special conversation from the audiobook. Much love. Chapter 4.
Getting right with reality.
This one.
We just came swinging. We really wanted to call ourselves out and all of the ways we protect ourselves. Of course, they come from a very loving place, but all of the ways that we get in the way of truth being able to be identified or named.
There is no transformation that can occur without getting right with reality. You have to be able to be standing on the solid ground that the truth is in order to change anything. You cannot change something that you don't recognize as being real. You can't. Because it's still mystery in your mind. And we're saying, no more mystery.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, like, of course, when you're naming big truths that could potentially destabilize your life, like, for instance, I'm unhappy in this relationship, like, that's a pretty big truth to identify.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, gosh, I don't really want to name that because then that means I have to potentially leave or whatever it is. I think one of the first steps we can invite in this book to lessen the intensity is, can we just be with what is real now without needing to change it, without needing to fix it, without needing to do anything at all? Like, this is that first step to, I think, getting right with reality.
Like naming it without into action.
Exactly.
Just observation. Yeah. It's like how Dr. Alexandra Salmon talks about looking back like an archaeologist. Like you're exploring from an observational sense. Yeah. Not from a, okay, let's get right into.
It's like, get out of action mode. There's nothing that needs to change right now.
Well, that's what prevents us from acknowledging reality, right? Is because if we acknowledge it, we then have a sense we have to change it. And we go into the emotional armors and the masks. We dive deeper into all of them. We might collect a couple extra, like a ant farm. You know, how many can I have? You can have all of them. That's because humans are so brilliant at avoiding change. They're so brilliant at avoiding threats to connection. And that is an evolutionary thing. It makes sense.
Right. It's our nervous system. Right. It's like, you know what? It's not safe for me to move forward with the truth right now because I don't trust myself that I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
If I rock this relational boat, if I stand up for myself in work or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And so these blind spots are brilliantly brought forward in our lives. And I want to talk about some of the ones that for me were just completely blinding. Some of the ones that I really
blinded by the light.
Really layered these on like you've never layered on a blind spot in your life. And the first one was shame. I oriented for a decade from this place of I am broken and I am unlovable and I am unworthy. Do you know how hard it is to access agency or choice when you believe you're broken or that there's something wrong with you? Like, it's almost impossible to be with reality because you're so stuck in your own brokenness that it's like there can not. It was so inverted, right?
Yeah.
It's like there's nothing wrong with the environment. There's everything wrong with me. And that imprint happens at such a young age.
And that's so many. I mean, hand up if you're listening. Like, did you leave your childhood thinking there was something wrong with you because of the environment of your childhood or your parent not being able to show up? Right? Like kids, we internalize the failures or inconsistencies or challenges of our parents as being a problem about us because it is too confronting to consider that the parent themselves is unreliable or a failure. So we believe, is that crazy? We cultivate the belief we're not worthy of being shown up for.
Right.
That's why we need an adult to be like, hey, it's not you. It's that your dad was an alcoholic or your mom, you know, or your mom was overwhelmed. Like whatever it is, that's also tough, right? Because we for a lot of people, we don't want to name those truths because we don't want to remove our, we don't want to humanize our parents in a way where we're actually, you know, saying they weren't great sometimes.
Yeah, that's where guilt comes in, right?
Yeah, that's my magical blind spot. I love how you just dropped it in there. Like, right? Hey, that's, no wonder you're so good at explaining that one.
Yeah.
That's your best friend. Yeah.
You are good at guilt.
Well, listen, I come from an Irish Catholic background.
Right.
That's like guilt on steroids.
Totally.
You know?
Oh, my gosh.
And it's so infused in my DNA, my familial DNA. Like, how are we going to get everyone to do what we want? Make them
guilt.
Feel guilty. Just pour guilt into their soul.
Yeah.
You know, we laugh, but it's not funny because in the experience of it, it creates the collapse of a self. So guilt being one of my main, which, you know, that's like guilt for prioritizing myself, guilt for honoring my needs, using guilt as a way of controlling other people's behavior, like, Kylie, you're the one who can't choose this relationship.
Mm-hmm. You're doing something wrong.
Yeah, which, you know,
it's your fault.
You know, I'm tender to myself there because it's not conscious. It's like really from how can I get her to change so things get better instead of how do I get myself to change so I can change how I orient to someone not changing.
Well, your guilt of like, this is your fault, just fed right into the shame blind spot for me,
right.
Which is like, I'm the one that's the problem.
Yeah. And I wanted to say, if you believe you're broken, then change actually is seemingly impossible because if you're broken, how could you actually even have the tools and the mechanisms to escape from your current circumstances? Do you know what I mean? Because there's like a deep belief in incompetence on some level, which you're the most competent person I know. Seriously, like so many skills. You know that jack of all trades, master of none? You're a master. You're a Jill of all, a master of all.
I don't know. I had to really.
You really are.
I really had to move through a lot of shame. Really, I had to hand shame back, you know?
Who'd you hand it to?
I handed it to a lot of people. I said, you know what?
This bag of tricks, bag I don't want it.
This bag of stuff is not mine.
Well, that's the beauty of this work. You hand your bags back, you take yours back, because that's part of it. You know, and that's part of taking responsibility for our lives.
But I remember vividly a dream I had where it was like I was actually like purging shame. Where it was like, this is not.
Like puking it?
Yeah, like in the
like
dream.
Like The Exorcist.
Well.
No, like on not, a bed, like.
Not. But like, it was like, stop swallowing this stuff, this poison. This is not yours.
Yeah, it's so interesting how we carry these things till you read this book and you're like, yo, I'm going to give it back. And hope and fantasy are serious blind spots. I mean, we talk a lot. I see this conversation online all the time. Like, people falling in love with potential, people staying with potential, but someone is always who they are now. You know, and if they're not choosing their way towards their potential will never be realized. And that's true of ourselves. When we chase people's potential, we give away our own potential.
Yeah, and you're projecting.
Yeah. God.
Your potential. Look, onto somebody else's
drop
potential.
That emotional armor in there.
But this is the beautiful work of being able to identify the blind spots. It's like once we can see them, once we have compassion for why they're there, then we can start to soften the grip they have on us so that we can slowly and maybe not so slowly move towards the truth.
I mean, can we just sit with that? We need to bring levity to this, right? Like we need to bring that, hey, some things humans do are ridiculous. Some of our blind spots, what are we doing? I've lived my whole life in hope or fantasy, or I've used guilt or shame. Like when we can be with these truths, we can change them. But we also have to just appreciate everything that got us here because it was absolutely necessary. Everything, every behavior you're now like, oh, I can't believe I do that. Love it because it got you here to this moment, to this opportunity for change, for choice.